seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, and the first part of verse 10. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, and the first part of verse 10. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, and the first clause and the second in verse 10. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" We have before us a very searching question. It is a question that can be looked at in two particular ways, really. First of all, it is a question that the world, the ungodly, and those that know not the Lord will speak many times, no doubt, through their life. What shall I do? But it is a far greater word than what the world and the ungodly speak. Because here it was not just, "What shall I do?" It was addressed to the God of heaven. "What shall I do, Lord?" And this is a very important point. It's so easy for us to say, maybe to our friends or children, to their parents, or many may utter it, "What shall I do?" But it's another thing when we have to ask the Lord this question. Saul of Tarsus had been brought into great concern about his never-dying soul. The Lord had wonderfully spoken to him from heaven, and the Lord had shown him the sin and iniquity and wickedness and filth there was in his heart. And this is what caused him to cry out like he did, "What shall I do, Lord?" We see here a gracious concern found in this dear man. A concern that had never been before seen in him. His concern by nature was to persecute the Church of God, to hate the Lord Jesus, to rebel against all the truth of God. But now, he's brought to submission before the Lord to do what the Lord would speak to him. And this word has rested upon me for a few days. What shall I do, Lord? Now, as help through today, I want to look first of all at the question, and then secondly at the answer. Because like with you, dear children, you may ask your parents or you may ask the teacher a question, and you look for an answer, don't you? we may ask the Lord, and we may be today in awe that you are in and I am in, this question. And you will look for the answer. And it's only the Lord that can give it. And it was only the Lord that could give the answer to Saul of Tarsus. What shall I do, Lord? Now this question is found in many cases in the Word of God. And as soon as the text dropped in, immediately the Lord set before me a few cases in God's holy word. And I want to not only look at the question they asked, but the answers the Lord gave them. Now with the dear Apostle Paul, Saul as he was here, he continually goes back. When he's brought before rulers and kings, like here he was brought before these rulers in the 26th chapter 2, before King Agrippa and those nobles. He immediately goes back to how the Lord brought him into such concern. And really, may the Lord give us that right concern and right exercise, because let us ever remember, and the Lord showed it to Saul here, eternity was before him. Eternity is before each of us. And as the Lord shows you the solemn issues of eternity, it's not just for 70 years, if we are spared the allotted span, it's not just as some have been favoured to live 100. What is that compared with eternity? Eternity is like a circle. It has no end. It goes on and on forever. And we shall either, when we come to the hour of death, and enter into eternity, enter into eternal bliss in heaven, to be with the dear Redeemer forever, or we shall be in eternal hell and eternal damnation forever. Now, does it concern each of us? What about my soul? Because this is what was set before the apostle. This is why he said, what shall I do, Lord? And what did the Lord say to him? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And oh, how wonderfully the Lord spoke to him. And I just want to tarry a moment here. Ananias was God's messenger to him. And the Lord spoke to him through Ananias a fourfold blessing. And may the Lord speak it to each of us. There were four blessed things the Lord was to speak to him in answer to this question. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Now, is it your great concern and mine? Lord, am I one of these chosen? It's See, the Lord has a chosen people, and they are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The God of our fathers has chosen. You think how this must have been music to the dear man's ears. The God of our fathers. There's he feeling such a poor, wretched rebel that has so persecuted the church of God. And yet now the Lord is manifesting to him. He's one of the Lord's chosen. I think of that beautiful word in Isaiah, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, this would settle the question in your poor heart and mine this morning, wouldn't it, if the Lord were to tell us that he has chosen us. And then he chooses the path that the Lord's dear people have to walk in. It's not their choice, it's not yours, not mine. We may have an ambition. When we were at school, we used to think of what career we would do, and it's right we should. Some of you may. But what is the Lord's choice for you? What has he chosen for you to walk in, and the path you should tread? And you see, I just want to tarry, and I hadn't really thought of tarrying upon this, but, you know, if the Lord has chosen us, he will make us choose his ways. And if you look in the case of the dear Apostle Paul, where he speaks to the Hebrews of Moses, he says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Lord made that his choice, and he'll make that the choice of every one of his dear people. You see, Saul of Tarsus from this very hour was not to persecute the church of God. He was to choose to walk in the way of the church of God. And the Lord made him willing. And you can look at it in another case just briefly. Look at dear Ruth. The Lord brought both those daughter-in-laws to the point, what should they do? They both lost their husbands. Naomi had been so bereaved and grieved after 10 years in Moab, she must go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she puts them to the test. And what do we read? Orpah went back to her gods and to her people. That was her choice. Her choice was to go into the world, into Moab, and choose the lot of the people of Moab. But look at Ruth. She was willing to cleave to Naomi and to cleave to the Lord and to cleave to the Lord's people and cleave to the Lord's ways. Entreat me not to leave thee, she says to Naomi, or to return from following after thee. For where thou dwellest, I will dwell, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. The Lord made that her choice. But then, of course, he chooses his dear people to suffer for his name's sake. Whether it be affliction of body, affliction of circumstance, affliction of mind, each one. He has chosen the path they've got to tread. And he's chosen the path they've got to tread to bring them down to their end. He's not in our hand, you see. But then, that thou shouldest know his will. You see, in the days previous, all Saul wanted to do was do his own will. But the Lord will bring each one of his dear children to choose to do his will. Thy will be done. The will of the Lord. And then to see this, to see that just one. Who was this just one? It was none other than the dear Lord Jesus. And this is who he got to see. You know, the apostle was blessed with blessed glimpses of Christ as he goes on his pilgrimage here. He was to see a precious Christ in his worship before the Lord. He was to see a precious Christ in the Word of God. He was to see a precious Christ in his afflictions, in his trials, in his temptations. To see that just one. You know, often the Lord brings us into places we wonder why we come into them sometimes. But oh, what would make that place that seems so bittersweet when we have a glimpse of that just one, a precious Jesus. It'll make the very bittersweet. And should his hear the voice of his mouth. Jesus said, didn't he, while here upon the earth, my sheep hear my voice. And you look through the life of the dear apostle Paul, and you'll see how many straits he came into when they sought to take away his life, and the Lord spoke to him, be of good cheer, Paul. Be of good cheer. Now he had to come into that place to hear the voice of the Lord. And then when he was shipwrecked on that voyage with all those prisoners, what does he say? The Lord stood by me. He stood by him that night. Whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. He needed that fear not, didn't he? Oh, to hear the Lord's voice. Whether it be through his word, through his, the preaching of it, or through the sacred hymns. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation, but you think of that fourfold blessing. The Lord was to tell him what he was to do. He got to serve the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. What shall I do, Lord? Now is this question in your poor heart this morning and mine? Now many times I have to utter this before the Lord. What shall I do, Lord? In the small things of life, in the great matters of eternity. What shall I do, Lord? In other words, Lord, tell me what I have to do. Show me what I have to do. In all things. Now, and I seek to be led into this, but one thing that's rested upon me in answer to this question is this. What Jesus said. And may we each lay it to heart. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You think of that. If the Lord answer you with that your question, Lord, what shall I do, with that answer, men ought always to pray. You think in matters that may concern you today and concern me, and you're saying, what shall I do, Lord? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray unto him in the matter. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Men ought always to pray. But alas, you see, we're so often fainting, aren't we? Men ought always to pray. In other words, ever seek to go to the Lord. And you see, when he uttered these words, what shall I do, Lord? He was addressing it to the God of heaven. But there's a case that so rested upon me. Then with this text, you know, and I just want to name it this morning. And may it be for the sweet comfort and help of us each here. In the book of Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles, we find dear Jehoshaphat in much trouble because of the enemies that came against him and against the land of Judah. And the dear man had to be brought into the reality of our text. What shall I do, Lord? And what did he say? O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. You see, the Lord had taught him he got no power in himself, no ability in himself, no strength in himself. And there may be those of you that feel that this morning. We have no might against this great company. You may have great things, you see, that are facing you, and you've got no might to stand against them, have you? But then he says this, and this is where it is so parallel with our text. Neither know we what to do. And yet he did know what to do. Because what does he go on to say? But our eyes are upon thee. And you're saying this morning, what shall I do, Lord? And the message is this, look unto the Lord. Don't go anywhere else. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Fain we would slight or doubt him, but when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. And you know the Lord was to wonderfully answer, and this is what I want to look at, this answer. What the Lord gave to Jehoshaphat. And we read, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, and then listen. Thus saith the Lord unto you. The word of divine authority was to be spoken. Thus saith the Lord unto you. And this is the sweet answer. Be not afraid. This was the first part of it. You think this morning, are those saying, Lord, what shall we do? Be not afraid. The Lord alone can give the answer, you see. Be not afraid. Why? Because though the dear man was afraid, those enemies that were come against him and the great trial he was in was all in the Lord God of Israel's hand. Oh, it was. And I want to convey that to you in a moment by further what he said. So he says, be not afraid. And who does the Lord say this to? Those that are afraid, those that are trembling with fear, be not afraid. Nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You see, we're often like Peter, aren't we? We're looking at the great multitude, we're looking at the great waves of the sea, and we're sinking. And we're afraid. And we're dismayed. when we should have our eyes fixed upon the Lord. Always keeping, the hymn writer said, Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, you think of this sweet answer to dear Jehoshua. The battle is not yours, but God's. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? He fights our battles well. And the Lord does, doesn't he? For those that are battling with Satan today, those that are battling with sin, those that are battling with affliction, those that are battling with trouble, the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, what a sweet answer that was to dear Jehoshaphat, wasn't it? And may the Lord sweetly convey that to your poor heart, whatever the battle may be in. It may be in your own heart, the battle. The flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That inward warfare, that inward conflict. The battle is not yours, but God's. And then he gives him clear instructions. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. And then listen. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Who was going to fight it for them then? The Lord himself. Ye have no need to fight in this battle. So often we find our old nature wanted to do this and fight that, don't we? But ye have no need to fight in this battle. And the Lord was to wonderfully fulfill this to dear Jehoshaphat. But then listen to the further answer the Lord gave him. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. Oh, to be given that grace to stand ye still. You know, some beautiful words of answer to our text, really, throughout the Word of God, isn't it? What did the Lord speak through Naomi to dear Ruth in the threshing floor? Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. She was so concerned, Ruth, what she should do. But she got to sit still. The Lord was to work, you see, and to work wondrously. And here, just as the Red Sea, the Lord commanded them to stand still, didn't he? And you know, that's one of the hardest things for the child of God to do, isn't it? There may be those of you this morning will say, but we cannot stand still. We're faced with all this trouble, this affliction, this distress, but stand ye still. He was faced, Jehoshaphat, with this great army, but stand ye still. You say, well, I'm a target if I stand still, but no. The Lord was to fight the battle. Stand ye still. They were to stand still to see at the Red Sea the great salvation of the Lord. And you know the Lord will give you grace to stand still, just to see the Lord work, to see Him perform His blessed purposes, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And then he confirms what he spoke earlier to them. And what does he say? Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. And then listen. For, and may the Lord speak it to us, for the Lord will be with you. Oh, you think of those wonderful answers the Lord gave to Jehoshaphat. Neither know we what to do. What shall, as the text says, what shall I do, Lord? Fear not, neither be dismayed. Stand still, for the Lord will be with you. Wonderful answer, wasn't it, to Jehoshaphat? And it was only the Lord that could give it. Now you think in your poor heart this morning, the Lord knows why this word has been upon me. This is what we should need grace to do. To do what he tells us. And you see, it reminds me of what the dear mother of Christ said to the servants at that first miracle in Cana of Galilee, when they said they had no wine. And what did she say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Oh, that we might ever do what the Lord tells us. The hymn writer said, listen to what the Saviour saith and seek for grace to follow that. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Another case that seemed to rest upon me was the a case of the lawyer that came to the Lord Jesus, and he tempted the Saviour. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And oh, how the Lord Jesus answered that question. And I felt the answer was very vital, really, in each of our souls. And he said unto him, what is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. There may be those saying, Lord, what's in our text this morning? What shall I do, Lord? There's a sweet answer here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now look in your poor heart and mine this morning. Do we love him with all our heart? You often say, what shall I do, Lord? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And with all thy soul. That is, it means really in its simplicity, all thy very being love him. There's so much love to the world today, isn't there? So much love to pleasure, so much love to carnal things. But do we love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul? We say, what shall we do, Lord? And here's the clear instruction, and I preach it to myself. I know you'll say, well, in and of myself, I cannot do this, and we know you can't, Borso. But do you desire to? Christ is precious in the desire. And he will give his dear people this desire to love him. What does the hymn writer said? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. And then he says, and with all thy strength. That strength the Lord gives you. The strength of faith. The strength of grace. With all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbour as thyself. Now you think of that this morning. Oh, what a wonderful answer the Saviour gave to that man. But you see, the man was in a solemn condition. And may we not be left to that. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. You see, the soul that serves the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul will have life. Oh, they will. The Lord will give it to them. And it's because they've got life they do love him. And they do seek him with all their heart and with all their soul. But then, of course, Jesus, because the man was willing to justify himself, and he said to Jesus, who is my neighbour? And what did Jesus use? That wonderful illustration. And what a lesson it is to us, isn't it? Of the man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. The priest came along, there was the dear man lying half dead. The priest came along, and what did he do? He wasn't any help to him, was he? He passed him by on the other side. And then there came a Levite. And what did he do? He passed him by on the other side. And then came a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Came where he was. And bound up his wounds and put him upon his ass and took him to the inn and there paid all that was due. And oh, he did for him everything he needed. And you know, that's a beautiful illustration of the dear Lord Jesus to poor sinners. He'll do everything you need, poor soul. Oh, he will. But what a lesson to us. I often think of that beautiful couplet of the hymn. And may we each lay it to heart. Help each other in the road. And may the Lord give us grace to help each other in the road. And this is what was set before this lawyer. The Saviour set it. And we read on another occasion, don't we, this word. Go thou and do likewise. Go thou and do likewise. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? So is this question deep in your poor heart and mine this morning. May the Lord sweetly come, and as we are helped this afternoon, I want to go further with it, and look at those sweet answers which the Lord gives to those that inquire like this. Are you willing to seek the Lord and willing to do what he says and obey what he says? Or are you willing, like that lawyer, just to justify yourself and say, well, I'm going to do my own thing? But are we willing to fall submissive? You see, really what we find, and then I must leave it, but what we find in this dear man, the dear Apostle Paul, as he was here, such a willingness to do what the Lord commanded him. Thus, the hymn writer said, make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. At last be where my Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. Oh, may that be our longing. Amen.